The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
One of the most helpful aspects of our life in meditation and outside of meditation is our own breathing. And so much so that I like to think of, you want to make your breath your best friend, your teacher. That your breathing, if you want to have a really reliable teacher, spiritual teacher, you don't have to look much further away than your own breathing. If you want to find a really reliable support, you can find it in your own breathing. If you want to find a really reliable healer, you can find it in your own breathing. If you want to find a lubricator that will kind of lubricate your life, you'll find it in your breathing. If you want to have access to wisdom, you'll find it in your breathing. Breathing is a great thing. And it's recognized in many cultures and many spiritual traditions that the breath is a pretty special thing. And there's all these words for breath that are quite significant. And so Buddhism also has that. And in fact, at the heart of much of Buddhist meditation is often meditation on the breathing. And one of the reasons why the breathing is so significant is that breathing is not a mechanical thing, just a mechanical thing. And it's not just a matter of getting oxygen in and carbon dioxide out, and do that efficiently, and then you've breathed. Breathing is deeply connected to our emotional life, our motivational life, what we're motivated and interested in doing, our physical life, our bodily life, what goes on. Because so much, it's kind of like the nexus, the meeting place of so many different aspects of our inner life, and sometimes our outer life as well. You can feel and see sometimes how your breathing changes depending on what goes on in the environment. And maybe it's happening through the filter of your reaction to what's going on in the environment, but I mean, even as something as simple as you're walking in the sun and then you come to the shade and you're in the shade, you can sometimes feel a change that goes over you. Now you're in the shade. Something subtle as that if you're paying attention. Or you turn, you're walking down the street and suddenly someone starts walking down the street towards you, and you can feel your breathing change because perhaps the person's scary or perhaps the person's attractive, or who knows, what the reaction is, but the breathing, it might be a very small change. Strong emotions have a big impact on how we breathe. If you get really angry, breathing tends to tend to breathe much more in the chest. Sometimes we don't breathe out as much fully when we're angry. Sometimes if we're scared, it affects our emotions in a different way. And love and compassion affects breathing a different way. Some relationships and attitudes we have towards what goes on, the breath gets held. Sometimes it gets held in different parts of the body. It gets held sometimes in the chest, in the diaphragm, sometimes the belly. And so you can kind of sometimes feel as you're breathing how the breath is being interfered with. And so I use the breath a lot where I try to stay attention to my breath much throughout the day. It's kind of I try to make it a regular, constant companion. And it's sometimes that's the first indication I have that something needs attention when I feel my stomach get a little bit tight because I'm aware of what goes on in my belly as I breathe. And so it's a kind of early warning system where you kind of notice very quickly because the physical change sometimes, at least I can notice faster than I can my mind, because my mind is so tricky and fast and things like that. And so to watch the changes in the body as you breathe, to watch changes in the breathing can reveal a lot about what's going on for us and what our relationship to the world is and all that. But then even more so, if we then breathe consciously, if we breathe with mindfulness, even if we don't try to change our breath, the fact that we're aware of what's happening in our breath as we breathe tends to lessen a little bit the full impact of whatever holding we have or reactivity we have. It kind of we're not quite as caught then in the reactivity if we're aware of the tension, the holding, whatever's going on with the breathing. And then if we breathe into, if there is holding or tension or limitations in how we're breathing, then just breathing into that sense of limitation, breathing into that sense of tension that might be in the chest or the belly, just breathe into it, kind of like you're massaging it. Not that you're expecting it to go away, because expectation gets in the way. But if you just kind of breathe in and out, in and out, in and out, it can be comforting, it can be settling. And eventually something can give. To go into situations that are difficult and stay in touch with your breathing as you do so is a little bit of protection from getting caught up in the reactivity that might, the reactions or the emotions, the ideas that might kick in the difficult situation. And so having the breathing as a companion, part of your attention is staying in the present moment, is staying on something that's, in a sense, maybe more neutral. And so because you're grounded there, you have this anchor there, you're less likely to be pulled off and get lost in your thoughts, your reactions, your emotions, you know, what's going on around you. It's kind of like a ballast, or kind of like a keeps you grounded, or keeps you in the present moment, keeps you from getting spinning out. The more the tendency is to spin out in the situation, the more useful it is to just keep breathing. And there are some times where, like, breathing is like the lifeline. Like, you know, you kind of hold on to it for dear life, because, you know, the spinning out mind is so incredibly powerful that, you know, if you don't have that lifeline, watch out, world. You're coming. And you'll say things and do things and maybe you later regret. And then breathing also then, in regular, mindful way, tends to be relaxing. There's something about the regular attention to the breath that tends to relax. And we know that because many times people will advise, if you're tense or really frightened or in a lot of pain, often the advice you can be given is breathe deeply. Maybe I've told this before, but a friend of mine who fell off the roof at Green Gulch and broke his arm, and he was laying there with his broken arm in pain, and the medics, in fact, the fire department came to patch him up or take him to the hospital or do something. They came first, and so he was laying there with his broken arm, and the big firefighter came over and leaned over him and said, you know, this was Green Gulch, a Zen center, right? He's a Zen student. He'd been Zen student for years. And the firefighter said, just breathe. And he rolled his eyes. I thought that was a good sign. you know, it's a common thing, just breathe. And it can be hard to feel like it's okay or warranted to just stay with your breathing. I mean, we have really important things going on in our life, right? And we have really important emotions and reactions and stories to get into and get involved in and or be impacted in by or be overwhelmed by. I mean, you can't believe what I'm about to be overwhelmed by. This is really juicy or important or too much. And so I can't, you know, this breath thing, I mean, breath is kind of like silly. It's like, you know, it's like this little physiological thing going in and out and chest moves and, you know, it can't by any means be as important as this life event. But I think that what's important is not necessarily breathing. What's important is the mind that stays open and relaxed, the mind that stays grounded and not caught by what goes on. And breathing, staying with mind present for the breath, is one of those tools, one of those assistants that keeps us from getting caught and getting lost, getting reactive, keeps us a little bit more relaxed and present for a situation. So coming back to the breath, being with the breath, so the breath can teach us what's going on. The breath can be a grounding and relaxing phenomena. And there's a way also that breathing can also connect us to other people. And there are times when you kind of not only tune into your own breath, but you can tune into other people's breath and kind of breathe with them a little bit. You want to be careful when and how you do it, because maybe it's a little bit invasive or something, especially if they notice you're doing it. But the situation where I learned to do this, where it was most effective was when you're with someone who's dying, and maybe you can't talk with them. There's no more conversation to be had. But there's something about tuning in to their breathing, and perhaps breathing with them, that seems to, I don't know if it really does, but it seems to create a kind of connection, a field between them, that certainly I feel so intimately connected to the person when I do that. And there's something very tender and very present and involved when I'm with someone who's dying and I'm breathing with them, breathing with their breath, tuning into their breath. How much they're affected by it, I don't know, but it feels to me like there's an impact. Sometimes I've done it when people have been in distress, and again, I'm not sure what the impact is, but I have a sense that somehow something in them tunes into the fact that there's a harmony or an attunement going on. There's a coming together going on in the rhythm of breathing at the same time. And so when the people are very much in distress, it's one of the things maybe we can do for them. And then the last thing I want to say about breathing, paying attention to breath, being connected to our breath, is that people can have attitudes about life that are kind of like the background or foundational attitude that they carry with them into everything they do. And they're not so conscious about it. They're not, it's not like they're thinking about it. In fact, consciously they think, they might, the surface, the main thing going on, kind of hides the fact that in the background of what they're thinking about, there is an attitude or a policy or a orientation that's always there. And so there might be an orientation, for example, that I can never get enough in life. I'm always deprived. Or there might be, I need everything that I have, so I need to, I can't let anything go because it's frightening to let things go. I have to keep everything for myself. Or it could be that life is too much. It's too oppressive, this life. It's always, I'm always being, life is always coming at me and wants more from me, and it's just like, leave me alone is a kind of attitude. So there's a whole slew of these kinds of attitudes. But these sometimes, if you get really quiet in meditation and you tune into your breathing, sometimes you can, occasionally, you can see how these attitudes play out in subtle ways with what our relationship is to the breath. So if people might feel like they can't get enough, they're going to be, sometimes they're really eager to breathe in. They might not allow themselves to breathe in all the way. They might not allow themselves to breathe out all the way because they're so quick to want to breathe in quickly. Or people who don't want to give up anything, they breathe in, but then they don't want to breathe out, and there's a little holding there that goes on. Or people who don't want to have, who are afraid, think that life is scary, it's scary to be out of control. There's this is particularly common of all these things, is they don't want to breathe out all the way. And so there's the end of the out-breath is kind of a letting go, and there's a kind of a hesitation that goes on there, a kind of unwillingness to breathe out all the way. And sometimes people space out and get involved in thoughts at that point. Sometimes they don't let themselves breathe out all the way because it's too frightening. And then there's people who, life is too much, leave me alone. They can breathe out just fine, but they don't want to breathe in. don't bring any of this up on. This is oppressive to have to breathe. And it might seem kind of bizarre to think that these kinds of attitudes are there in the breath. I've seen often enough on retreats, especially when people get quiet and subtle enough and they're paying attention to their breath, lo and behold, that there's something going on there at some point of the cycle of breathing in and out. And it points to some of the subtle background attitudes that people are carrying with them in their life. And the fact that it's subtle and background doesn't mean that it's unimportant. Sometimes it's at the foundation of the cornerstone in which everything else is built. I said that was the last thing. I'll say one more thing. The breath can bring a tremendous amount of pleasure. Tremendous amount of pleasure, delight, satisfaction. To tune into the breath and have the breath be relaxed and open and really tune into it, really be there with it. And And the analogy that I've been using lately is staying with the breath, the rhythm of the breath, is like stroking a cat, and the pleasure is like the cat purring. So, you know, you start, at some point you start purring. So, enjoy your breathing.